I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and I welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says, if you're born of God, you are an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God did not call you or create you and I to be losers, to be defeated. He created us to be victorious. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, I am made.
I am made.
To win.
To win.
I am called.
I am called.
To victory.
To victory.
And you know, that's what 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. So no matter what you're dealing with, how long it's been that way, how hard, how impossible it may seem, it's not too hard for God. There is a way of escape. There's a way out of it. There's a way over it. There's a way to victory. And your victory begins by just believing that. Making a conscious decision to believe it's not hopeless. It's not impossible. There is a way. Huh?
Yes.
And God's that way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, all of us agree together, looking to you, asking you for the utterance, the anointing, the grace, the direction, the help for today. And we believe that there is a way, that Jesus is the way. And your word and faith is the way to victory. And so we ask you to show us and enable us to rise up higher in it, and to receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go, please, in the scripture to the 23rd Psalm. We've been on a subject, on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, that's a big statement, and it's an all-inclusive, because I keep saying all and always. Is that true? Where did I get that? Well, like I'm mentioning, 30, right? And that's not exhaustive. We're giving one by one 30 truths from the Word of God, the revealed will of God. One of the big mistakes that people make is trying to ascertain the will of God through feelings, through reasoning, through experience. There's a whole lot of people believe that if it happened, it must be the will of God. If it didn't happen, it must not have been the will of God. That is being foolish. Actually, the scripture says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you know, Romans talks about having our mind renewed so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if everything that's happening is the will of God, I don't need to pray to find out the will of God. I don't need to have mind renewal to know what the will of God is. Just wake up and see what happens, and that's the will of God. But that can't be true. The Lord tells us He wants us to seek Him and find His will. And once you know His will, then you pursue that. And anything contrary to that, you reject and say, no, that's not the will of God. He said this. So that's what we're doing. In order to have faith, like Brother Bosworth said, author of the book Christ the Healer, he said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And that's another way of saying faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you're, as long as you're questioning the will of God in an area, you cannot have faith in that area. Can't. You got to get it settled that you know what God's will. For instance, if you weren't sure if the Lord wants you to be saved or not, if you're not sure if He wants you to go to heaven or hell, and you think it's all up to Him, you can't have faith to be born again, receive Jesus. You're not going to pursue that or receive that or confess that. Same thing is true about everything in life. Same thing is true about healing. Same thing is true about provision. Same thing is true about protection. And the list goes on. So that's why we have faith school, that we want to find the will of God and not just say, well, it could be, maybe so, we'll see. No, that's why we're going reason after reason after reason after reason. So at some point, you get settled and go, well, now that's in the Bible, isn't it? There it is, right? And you should get settled that you go, that's the will of God. It is the will of God that we be saved. Yeah. It's not His will that any should perish. Well, it's also the will of God that we have abundant provision. Not my idea, not my reasoning, not some other by other people's. This is God's revealed will. The first reason we saw was here in Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm that many Christians are familiar with, the very first verse. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now that same word translated want in the same King James Bible is translated lack. I shall not lack or be in need. Listen to other translations of this. The NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Another one said, the Holman said, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack." God's Word translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need." The Basic English says, "The Lord takes care of me as His sheep, I will not be without any good thing." Is this scripture? Or is it,
Yes.
I didn't write it. You didn't write it. It was here before we were born. Is it the unchanging will of God? And then the easy to read says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need." I want to hear you say it out loud. Say, "The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything I need."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The other one said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need." Go ahead and say that out loud. I will always have everything I need. Why? Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Is He a good shepherd?
Yes.
Or a bad shepherd?
Very good.
Does He take care of His sheep?
Yes.
Or does He neglect His sheep?
No.
He's a good shepherd. That was reason number one why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because He's always the good shepherd, and the good shepherd always takes good care of His sheep. Reason number two, the goodness of God. And if I start explaining it, I'll try to preach on it again. So number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. Number eight, the blessing of tithing. And number nine was honor and riches. Now, all of these we've covered and spent substantial time on them. And if you weren't with us, let me encourage you, go online, faithschool.org, and all of these are there. And in fact, hundreds of lessons on faith are there. And it won't cost you anything. There's no charge. There's no commitment required. And catch up with us. You can go reason 1, 2, 3, 4, up through 9 and get caught up with us, because we're building on one after another. We're down today to reason number 10. Anybody ready for number 10?
Yes.
Okay. Reason number 10, we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of wisdom and wealth. Wisdom and wealth. Now, what we saw with number 9 is honor and riches. There's a connection between the two. And it's something that much of the church has totally lost. It even sounds strange to some church-going people to mix the word honor and riches together. But it wasn't my idea. We gave numerous scriptures about what God has said about these things. And so, like we said, go to faithschool.org and get that previous lesson. But again, this is a similar thing. It's a different area, but similar way. God has connected wisdom and wealth. In Psalms 104 and 24, Psalm 104 and 24, he said, O Lord, how manifold are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. Is there a connection, we're saying, between wisdom and riches? You're going to see there is. I'm going to give you numerous scriptures. But here, when God created everything, it said in wisdom, he made all of them. And the result is that the earth is full of his riches. You know, just in creation itself, in the book of Genesis, when God made everything, he told them, he said, there's gold over here, and the gold is good. Well, that's what most modern currencies used to be based on. They were just a paper certificate representing the precious metals. Well, is gold good or bad? See, people hesitate. They go, And like we said, people misquote and say, well, money is the root of all evil. No, that's a misquote. That is not what the scripture said. It said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And people try to say, well, you know, money, love them, the same thing. No, not the same thing at all. You can love money and have nothing. You can be tapped out, have zero money, and just lay around and dream about having money and lust and long after money. You can love money and have nothing. Well, if that's true, it's possible that you could have money and not love it.
Amen.
It's the love of it that's the problem, not the money. And like we saw with honor and riches, that the Lord talked about things that were nice, things that were expensive, not in a negative, bad way, that especially when they were connected with godly people and people of righteousness, it was an honor thing. In fact, you know, the Lord said, he corrected the religious leaders of his day, he said, because they had changed the Lord's command to honor your father and mother. And he said, you have changed it and said, well, if what I have is dedicated to the temple, then I'm released from any obligation of doing anything for my mother and father. And that's where he said, you have replaced the word of God with the traditions of men and made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. And so Jesus he interpreted honor your mother and father as doing something for them financially and materially. He equated financial, material with honor. And that's what we saw in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. The honor of the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. And so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses will burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord. Now, it's right to honor the Lord with your words and your thoughts and your heart. But that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about honor the Lord with your substance. And that word's translated riches in the same King James Bible. Honor the Lord with your material things. And like we had seen, if you honor Him, what did He say? He's going to honor you. And part of that is in you being provided for, in you having abundance and ability to do more and more. So there is a connection between glory and riches. That was number 9. But then there's also a connection between honor and wealth. Excuse me, wisdom and wealth. And that's our 10th number here. Now, we mentioned this, and I want to go further into it. The Lord referred to Solomon's glory in Luke 12 and 27. Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." All his glory. Well, what was Solomon's glory? You see it in 2 main things: wisdom and wealth. And is it a coincidence that the wisest man was the richest man? Huh? Is that just a coincidence? Nope. The wisest man, well, let's back up a bit. Who's the wisest of all? God, right? The Creator. Is He poor in any way?
No.
Would you say He's also the richest of all? I mean, He talks about the cattle on 1,000 hills. How about all the gold and platinum in 1,000,000,000 planets? I mean, yeah, the wisest is the richest. Is that a truth or not?
Yes, it is.
Solomon was. Certainly God is.
Yes.
Solomon was the wisest, the scripture said, and he also was the richest. Now, we saw what happened in the beginning of Solomon's reign. If you look in, or I'll just read it to you, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, when Solomon was about to take the throne of his father David and be king over God's people, he prayed a prayer to God. He said, "Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this your people that's so great?" Now, he had grown up in the royal household. He had received the best education. And yet, having been around his father David and the wise men that were around them, he had learned enough about the things of God that he realized what I have and am is not enough. I need the wisdom of God to get to do this right. And so that was his main request of God. "Lord, give me wisdom so that I can be the king I'm supposed to be, so that I can lead your people like I should." And verse 11, God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches and wealth and honor, you hadn't asked for the life of your enemies, you didn't ask for long life, but you asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king." He said, "Because you've asked this, wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth." This is mentioned another place in Kings. He said, "And I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Riches." Why? Because if you want wisdom, it comes with riches. Now this sounds strange to some church-going people, because they've been taught, "Oh, no. You don't want any of that old filthy lucre."
Yeah.
Now, last week or so, we got into some detail about that, what filthy lucre is, so I don't have time to go over it again. Go online and get that study as well. But that doesn't mean money is nasty and bad. He was talking about getting money by questionable means, doing things dishonestly, doing things shamefully is what the word means. And so the money is not bad. And nice things are not in and of themselves bad. You know, people scoff and mock and go, well, man, that's an expensive car. Ooh, that's an expensive watch. Ooh, that's an expensive house. Well, is a good house bad?
No.
Huh? No. Well, it's just too much. Too much for who? Yeah. Too much for you. Right? But what make, if you say, well, yeah, it's too much. Well, what makes you the standard, though? You know, why isn't it less than that, the standard? Or why not more than that, the standard? And does it make any difference if somebody would have greater vision? Somebody's willing to sow more. Somebody's willing to believe more. Somebody's willing to obey further. No, see, the enemy is the one who wants the church broke. The devil, the enemy, the adversary, the thief is the one that wants all Christians without any resources to do what God wants them to do. And he wants the church to be a reproach. He wants our stuff to be so poor and so bad that nobody wants to join us. Nobody wants to be a part of us. And God has never been that way. We saw with his instructions for his tabernacle, with his instructions for his temple, God did it. I mean, big. He spent, by today's standard, hundreds of millions on a temporary tent to haul the ark around. And then when they built the temple, billions, billions and billions. And he used gold and silver and precious jewels as primary building materials. Always been that way. If God liked bleak and drab and old, that's how heaven would be.
Yeah.
If that's his taste, if that's his preference. Now look, if God likes poor and broke and that's what pleases him for me to be, let's do it. Quit playing with it and be seriously poor. But if it's just being poor because some religious people have a goofy idea, no thanks. I'll trust God. How about y'all? I want to be with him. I want what pleases him. And it's not, the stuff has never been the problem. The money's not the problem. It's the love of it. And it's having, you know, it in a wrong priority in your life. And anything that you have, it needs to be freely you have received, freely you will give it. You'll do, that you don't have any material thing, including money, that you won't do exactly what God tells you to do with it anytime, any place. If he says, let this go, if he says, give this, if he says, sell this, you'll do it. You'll do it because it's just things. And all of these things are temporary and going away. But it doesn't mean you can't have some good things and enjoy some good things, because does God want us wise or foolish?
Wise.
Not a trick question. Let me come around again. Come on, think about it now. Does God want you wise?
Yes.
A wise man or woman?
Yes.
Or a fool?
Wise.
The scripture definitely talks about be wise. Don't be a fool. Well, what goes with wisdom?
Wealth.
And riches goes with that. So if somebody is walking after God and being godly and being wise and they prosper and they accumulate and have wealth and you don't like it, well, what is it you don't like? The wealth or the wisdom? Which one you don't like? Because the wealth is connected to the wisdom. It comes with. And that's what the Lord said to him. He said, you didn't ask for it. You asked for wisdom, but I'm going to grant you wisdom and knowledge. I have granted it to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had before you, neither shall there any after you have the like. Said out loud, wisdom,
wisdom.
And wealth.
And wealth.
Wisdom,
wisdom.
And riches.
And riches.
Rich is not a bad word. It's not an ugly word. You have to keep talking about these things because the enemy has really convinced much of the church that, I don't want any of this old world's goods, you know. And they think because they sang some unscriptural verse in a song for decades that that's the Word of God. But no, what does the Word say? What does it actually say? Well, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles 9, we'll give a little bit more of this, 2 Chronicles 9, 22, that the King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Everybody said out loud, riches and wisdom. Did I write 2 Chronicles 9, 22? Did you write it? Okay. Do we believe it's the Word of God? Then it should be acceptable. Said out loud, riches and wisdom. Wisdom and riches. Riches and wisdom. Wisdom and riches. What goes with wisdom?
Riches.
Is that good or bad? Is it good to be dumb or smart? Help me out, class. Is it good to be a fool? And waste everything you got? And miss opportunities? And won't listen to the Lord? And wind up broke? Or is it good to be wise? And listen to the Lord? And do what He tells you to do? Give when He says give. And buy when He says buy. Sell when He says sell. Next thing you know, you're rich. Is that good or bad?
Very good.
It's good. Why? Because nobody said you had to keep it all.
That's right.
The more resources you have, the more you can underwrite the gospel, the more you can help the church, the more you can help people in need, the more you can help your own family.
Amen.
It's good.
Yes.
Wisdom is good.
Yes.
And riches are good.
Yes.
Wealth is good.
Yes.
This is mind renewal, but all the truth. It'll make you free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And our time's up again today. Say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. You can tell when something's true. It excites your spirit. Are you getting any detection of excitement about this?
Yes.
We'll come back tomorrow and we'll get some more excitement. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.